Good morning, afternoon, evening, night. Before everything, we want to send our greetings to the Mapuche people who are still being attacked by the bad governments in the countries called Chile and Argentina. And now, with their legal traps, are now submitting to a new trial to Maki Francisca Lincolnau, together with other Mapuches. Another show that the system that we have, those who destroy the nature are the good ones, and those who defend life are the bad ones and are persecuted and incarcerated as criminals. In spite of that, or precisely because of that, one only word is enough to describe the struggle of the Mapuche people and all the originary peoples of this country. Larichiwe. 10,000 times, we will always win. Yesterday, one of the speakers told us that there was an award, a contest for the spaceship that will take life to another planet, and a message, and the message that we're proposing that will win, don't allow us to install ourselves in your world. If I don't solve the problems that we are provoking, we will commit the same errors. And with us, there will be a criminal system. Will we be to your world the apocalyptic alien, the eighth passenger that grows and reproduces thanks to the death and destruction? The mobile to know other worlds should be the desire for knowledge, the need to learn, and respect to what is different, and not the search for new markets for war, or refuge for murders, for the murderer-turned system. And please deposit our $1 million in the following bank accounts that supports the Indigenous Governing Council. What I'm going to read was going to be our participation yesterday, but I was applied gender equality and I was kicked out. The women won, and so here it goes. From the Gato Dog Cat's notebook, which narrates how the two greatest detectives were found, and a fragment of what Elias Contrero and Subgaliano talked about with when the case of the disappearance of the buns, and when Defensa Zapatista destroyed language, and some meditations of the soup. Dr. John Watson looks at himself in the mirror with concern. He combs his hair in one way or another. He looks at him in the front, in the left, on the side, and with a hand mirror and behind. While he's doing this, he thinks to himself. He says, tortilla hair? Is it the color? Or maybe my gray hair? Or the way I comb my hair? He's doing this when Sherlock Holmes jumps up and start playing the violin. And I'm sorry, the transmission is really bad in my earphones here. Where are we going? It's getting really cold. Holmes doesn't even respond. He advances on the main road of the community and goes to the small hut where there is a sign that says Vigilance Commission and a mural that challenges humidity. Inside, an indigenous woman and a young woman watches the monitor of the computer. I greet you. A young woman says in his best tzotzil, Sherlock Holmes, who apparently only needed a few days to learn the indispensable to make himself understood in the Mayan languages of the region. Watson looks at him and smirks when, in perfect English, the indigenous woman says, in English, good afternoon. Although her accent more than British, he thought it was more like a Dublin accent. Holmes ignores the sneer and he asks in Spanish, where can they tell me where is a person with whom I want to speak? The young woman, which is very short and she seems to be very enjoying herself, and responds in perfect German, what is the name of this person? Holmes immediately realizes what this is going on, and he says in perfect French, we don't know his name, but his profession is private investigator. I don't understand anything, says the indigenous woman in Italian, of a tough neighborhood. John Watson seems to enjoy the difficulties Holmes is having, but looks with concern to the streets, fearing that the girl will reappear. Sherlock Holmes is trying to figure out how you say private investigator or detective in Russian when Watson's fears are confirmed. Like a little hurricane, the girl that calls herself Defensa Zapatista comes running down the street full of bottles and enters intempestively into the hut when Watson instinctively combs his hair, and Sherlock is still wondering what language to use. Defensa Zapatista says, home is Broomhead. Well, she doesn't hug him. Holmes and the girl's heights are mean that the detective receives her hug on his knees. The detective is unsettled. The very short, the minimum height of people is 175 in London. Although being in Zapatista lands, he had to lower it to 1.5 meters. Regarding the children, in addition to running away from him and making, he had no experience. But for a strange reason, the oldest detective was sympathetic to Defensa Zapatista. She turned to the respectable doctor, John Watson, and he says, and jumps at him and he says, what son tortilla hair? And Defensa Zapatista takes both of them by the hand and pushes them to the exit. Come quick, we're going to be late. The young woman was in charge of the Vigilance Commission and disillusioned because her internationalism had to end, and closes the computer with a Google Translator and goes back to concentrating the activities on the spokesperson of the Indigenous Governing Council. Holmes doesn't need to run. For each one of his steps, the girl has to make several steps. Sherlock is walking on with his stick, where he usually looks for insects on the land. Once Watson stays behind on purpose when the so-called dog cat eats Holmes in a part of the pants to make him slow down at Defensa Zapatista's space. Suddenly, the girl stops and she says, we're here. They're at the stable. That is the same for cattle as for soccer games, as for parties and festivals. And it's also a training field for a whole team of Defensa Zapatista. Watson, who still hasn't been able to orient himself in the place where they spend most of the time, confirms that the place when it, that there is shit under his shoes. Defensa Zapatista says, you wait here, I'm going to go for the horse, and the dog cat runs after him. And then a male, indigenous male with undefined age, approaches. Sherlock Holmes looks at him, and with his famously acute speed, he creates a semblance of the indigenous person. But before he does that, the character says, "Good morning, Señor Holmes, Señor Watson. Don't worry. I think you will find in the you will find Zapatista boots that fit your feet. You should try not to smoke so much in a pipe because it's bad for your health. I recommend the violin instead of the pipe. And I don't recommend that you talk badly of women here because they might get mad, especially Defensa Zapatista. Sherlock Holmes is quiet, and Watson looks at him with curiosity. Apparently, the detective received a bit of his own medicine. Holmes goes from surprise and claps, "Bravo. I agree with everything except for the accusation of misogyny." The indigenous person is who clarifies the situation. "Elementary, my dear tortilla hair." Holmes put on his coat real fast. Someone who... He tears his jacket, and the guy who will fix it is in London. You can see that from the label. The nicotine stains on his hand demonstrate that he smokes a lot with a pipe, because those are signs that come out of the place where you keep the tobacco. The boots, well, those boots you're wearing, they're not going to last very long. And obviously, it's obvious that that you think of using boots like the ones we use because they are made by insurgents and you can buy them at the store of the Compass. By the way, Holmes is right-handed and left-handed, right-handed, I'm sorry, and he uses the left to use the violin. The way he holds the stick is the same as Pablito does to play violin in the parties. On his neck, on the left hand, you can see that he uses that plays the violin, or that somebody sucked on his neck. The thing that talking about badly about women is because he's accompanied by a man. Either he doesn't like women or is homosexual. This insinuation doesn't bother Holmes very much, but Watson is very much proud of his heterosexuality, and he says, "Hey, Holmes and I are not a couple. We are a couple, but not a couple in the sense of somebody sucking on somebody's neck. But what I mean is that this is a professional relations." The indigenous man interrupts. He says, "Hey, don't worry about it, Watson. We respect everybody's way." "I know that, Watson, but it's not what it seems. Of course, it's not that I condemned that kind of relationship. It's just, I'm just clarifying." And now Holmes interrupts him and bends over respectfully. He says, "I think you are Elias Contrero, Comisión de Investigación." And Watson tries to hide his tortilla hair and greets him. Only Elias Contrero could make that change of observations and reasonings and deductions with a speed that is faster than mine. Instead of thanking him, Elias Contreras smiles. He says, "Subgalianos talks about you people," and he says how it's your way and the pipe and the violin and those kind of things. And in the vigilance office, "I saw your name. And since you're the only foreigners that are here," well, Watson is now, Holmes is smiling at having met the famous detective, the investigation commission of the EZLN. "Yes, you're right, Elias Contreras, or should I call you otherwise?" he says as he shakes his hand. "You can say Elias," says the Zapatista, and offers a cigarette, which they refuse. Sherlock says. You know, something similar happened to me with Sir Arthur. He made me read the poor chronicle of my findings, which then explained to Dr. Watson here. Watson tries to protest, but he doesn't. And I saw that Sir Arthur adorned, without necessarily understanding what I was doing. And I said that it was useless because what I did was to apply science to resolve crimes. And science and their explanations, my dear Elias, is far from the glamour that is usually attributed to it by novelists and common people. And it's also not exempt from errors and the continuous and tiring experimentation and the profound and systematic study of advances that happen all over the world. Science and its applications are difficult. Scientific rigor turns their exercise into something aired and counters it with intellectual laziness. Because of that, whenever you have an people have the opportunity to study, they opt for these so-called social sciences or humanities, which, according to them, and which is wrong, do not require rigor, complexity of scientific knowledge. The arts not only do not demand rigor in terms of exactness, but differently from exact sciences and humanities, they can imagine not only other realities, but also wonder us with forms and sounds with which they paint that imagination. And because of that, arts are closer to exact and natural sciences differently from the so-called humanities. The novels, for example, would be irresponsible and a violation to ethical codes of any scientist in their practice. But a problem that sooner or later must be faced is the fact that having imposed a strict discipline and having solid knowledge makes those who make science their profession very often become haughty toward most people. And quite often, they justify their frivolity and lack of common sense regarding everyday facts, as if everyday life was a matter of mundane people and they were above everything. But despite this, the scientists themselves, exact science, exact and natural science are necessary. The real possibility of leaving the nightmare that the homogeneous world system is have their ally in the sciences. Otherwise, we will continue to console ourselves with science fiction. Watson looks at Holmes in surprise, who thinks, incredible. Sherlock Holmes is describing himself and condemning himself. Holmes realizes this, and talking to him, he says, hey, you're wrong, Watson. I'm not self-critiquing me. It is obvious that the speech is not mine and has been put in my word, in my mouth by Subgaliano, because I think that the recognition and the reproach will be better received by the scientific community if it comes from the greatest of all detectives in the world than if it's done through a nose under a mask that still uses the model of the Danish Borg, referring to the atom, and to describe it, says it's this little ball formed by little balls sticking to each other, and around this bunch of balls there are other balls gyrating. Sherlock Holmes shakes, partly because of the scandalous description of the atom, and partly because this way he seems to have been liberated from the discourse that Zapatismo has imposed on him through poetic license. Elias Contrero only intervened with, What happened next? We know it because Dr. John Watson took notes of what was said, even though not with the intention of publishing it, but only because of the interest he had on the talk, which would be later thanked by Holmes, because what Elias Contreras said continues to keep him awake at night. Sherlock Holmes took aside Elias Contreras, followed at a prudent distance by Watson. The girl was occupied trying to convince a horse to play soccer in the defense, and supported by the meows and wows of the dog cat. "We're going to practice now free shots," said the girl, and saw that one boy stood before what was supposed to be a goal. Sherlock Holmes said, "My dear Elias, I came to you to see if you have a case that might require my detective abilities. Of course, I promise to be discreet, and I will not complain. I will not claim any credit if we manage to succeed." Elias Contreras stopped and said in the same tone, "Okay, well, I do. But the problem we see is too big, and we only have a head to understand where. So what arrives in my head, I can share it with the compañeros and compañeras from the committee." "Excellent," said Sherlock Holmes. "Abstract reflection requires an extra effort that obligates the brain to sublimate. Pay attention, Watson, because now we will face the supreme challenge of any detective, to resolve a crime only with the logical tools and scientific knowledge." Holmes was very enthusiastic. Holmes didn't remember having seen him like that since the Scarlet episode that gave him worldwide fame. Sherlock Holmes didn't pressure Elias Contreras. He lit up his cigarette, his pipe, to accompany the cigarette that Elias Contreras was smoking. Elias Contreras began, "Well, so the problem is big, but it's simple. So we know who the murderer is, who the victim is, what the weapon was, and what is, as we say, the scene of the crime. That means where the fucked up thing happened. So like the soup says, we have the calendar and the geography. So the problem is big because everything is messed up. I don't know if it's messed up in reality or my thoughts is messed up. So the crime already took place, but it's also taking place, and it will also take place. So it's fucked up. It's not just that it happened or that it's happening now. It's also going to happen." Holmes was even more interested, but he didn't interrupt Elias Contreras, who continued. "So we have to know what happened, what is happening, and to know what will happen to keep it from happening, because if it happens, it's going to be a great disgrace that you can't even imagine." Sherlock Holmes waits for the impasse opened up by the Commission of Investigation, and says, "I think I understand. We need to understand the committed crime to understand the crime that is being committed, and thus prevent following crime, the greatest and worst crime in the history of humanity." Elias Contreras says yes and goes on. "The criminal is not hiding. On the contrary, he's showing himself and says his crime is very good, that he killed and destroyed and stole. And I think when he was born as a criminal, when he became a criminal, is that we can learn how he's doing his crime and how he will do it." "Of course," says Holmes, "we need to reconstruct the genealogy of the crime, which in this case, and if I understand it correctly, is also the genealogy of the criminal. But continue." "Okay," says Elias. "So we see that the criminal became modern. So he improved as a criminal. And he takes care of not letting it known that he is a criminal. So he dresses like that he's good, that he's not thinking anything. So he has his accomplices, his companies in crime. And these accomplices put a good face on the criminal. But of course, we all see that what he does is really fucked up. And so these companies of evil invent someone guilty. So their job is to blame somebody else. And so they look for somebody that they will blame for this crisis. Sometimes it's women who are to blame because she deserves it, because they dress provocatively, because they study and work, and they even want to command their own bodies and their own paths. They want to be autonomous. They think they're like a rebellious autonomous municipality. But other times, they blame people who have a different color skin or who have a different way of being. Like, for example, Magdalena, who died fighting the bad and the evil because she was a woman, but like God made a mistake and put her in a male body. And she didn't hid or give up. She didn't give a shit about what people said, and she was different. But she was in a different body. Well, she was other male, female, and she struggled to be who she was. She was really tough, Magdalena. She never gave up. Neverly, says Elias, and he cries, remembering the person that he loved and still loves. Holmes and Watson keep quiet. Then Elias goes on. Well, they also blame us, indigenous people. They say that things are bad because we're not civilized, that we don't let progress advance and have mines in places where there are forests and water sources, because it turns out that we as peoples live what they threw us. Because where we were before, they stole from us and they kicked us out, they jailed us or they killed us, but we resisted. And these lands here, the criminal didn't want them, but now he does. Because they're also a merchandise, he says. Because they can buy and sell water and the land and the air and the sun and the trees and the animals, even the smallest. Even the contents of pozol is a merchandise. So the criminal, that's his way. He turns everything into merchandise, even people, women, creatures, men, dignity. And whatever they don't, well, it's not good because they can't buy it or sell it. But the problem, that's not really the problem. The problem is that they do this shit because they have a weapon, which is the one with which he commands his entire plan, and that is what they call it, the private property, the means of production. So the problem is not that things are produced, but there are some who have the property of what is used for those things, and they only leave you with your workforce, which they pay you like a merchandise, and badly. And so the criminal destroys and kills thanks to that weapon, which is private property, and also at the same time does all this shit to keep this weapon from being taken away from him. And there, well, I don't really know how to explain it. I understand it well, but I don't have the words to say it in Castilla, in your Spanish, or in your languages. But more or less, this is how I put it or said it. There is a criminal. There is a victim who is blamed so that they can be stole from. And then there is a weapon. And then this scene of the crime is the entire world. So I think everything is messed up because the capitalist system of the world puts everything, puts the victim, and it is the murderer, the weapon that kills, and the scene of the crime. So we discussed this with Subgaliano when he did his crime of stealing the buns and he was punished, and now he's going to have another crime because he took Submoy's cell phone, and of course Submoy is going to realize it. So we continued thinking about the problem, because if we didn't detain the criminal, then the entire world would be the victim. Not only people, but everything. Animals, plants, stones, water, everything. And the problem is also that there is nowhere to put the criminal in prison. So the only way to pay for the crime is by destroying the capitalist system. Of course. I'm not telling you everything that we talked. So the talk is not complete. But if I tell you everything, those who hear and listen to this story will be falling asleep and will be thinking about what kind of clothes to wear tomorrow, where they're going to go off and party because the year is ending and no one is beginning, and they think that the calendar will just change things just like that. But what are they going to do to change these things? We have to struggle to change things a lot, everywhere and every time. In other words, there is no rest. Holmes and Watson remained quiet until Elias said goodbye, saying, "Well, I gotta go. Take care of yourselves. And don't worry about the other loves. If there is a tomorrow, it will be for them and for them and with them." And talking to Watson, he said, "If there is no key for the door of the closet, break the door. You gotta get out without fear, like Magdalena, or with fear, but controlling it." Watson tried to clarify that him and Sherlock weren't what they seemed to be, but Elias Contreras, Commission of Investigation of the EZLN, had already taken off, and the evening was falling under the shadows of a night that one could tell was going to be cold. Some days, some moons later, Defensa Zapatista decided to express herself only in colors. Another expressions of the type, this is blue, or I felt orange, but only names of colors. All activities of language and discourse were placed in a checkmate by the impertinence of Defensa Zapatista. One day she went to the house, the hut of Galeano, and said, "Yellow." And he said, on the jacket, right pocket. And so she went over there and took the package of buns, and he went running, saying, "Purple." Against what we might think, each color didn't have a precise meaning. To understand Defensa Zapatista, you had to take into consideration her tone of voice, the context in which she said it, where she was looking at, the expression of her face, the signs in her hands, and their body expression. One time she said, "Yellow," when she was walking towards school, as if she was going to be murdered. And Sub said that until then, he thought that Defensa Zapatista was a normal child and not a cybernetic creation of Sub Marcos. Questioning by Sub Marcos, in a robot whose source of energy is buns. Some evening, Sub Galeano explained to Elias Contreras, "She's a girl. She's entirely normal for a girl to go to school, to do it with the anguish and despair of those who marched towards the slavery of numbers and letters and names and dates. Nobody could express better what it means to go to school. And I think to take the cat dog with her, even if it's hidden, is the way to hold on to the world, which is what Defensa Zapatista is, that she has no idea what she is, but she is happy in that world. And she is happy in her efforts to complete the soccer team, which maybe, hopefully, will be the way to change the world." Because he observes that she doesn't dream of being a superhero, someone with superpowers, with something that will destroy her enemies. And if you pay attention, they're always male. She never talks about the goal she did with the technique that surprised everyone, and that it has had all sorts of explanations. But the dead Sub Marcos always remembered that in school he had made a goal. Forgetting to mention, of course, that he was always on the sidelines, and he was only once did he play, and that's because one person was lacking, and that he made the goal because he fell, and without purpose, and by accident, he kicked the ball into the goal. Defensa Zapatista doesn't play the role of the helpless princess waiting to be saved by the masculinity of mounting a horse. In fact, her relationship with Pedrito is precisely the opposite. She has to help and orient Pedrito, even though her method of hitting him continuously might not be the most adequate. Defensa Zapatista assumes her objective as something to be done collectively, and she doesn't understand her place as a leader or chief because she has elected the position that is least visible, defense, and she does it to support the horse that is the goalkeeper. Her job is to look for who else can join the team, who can work in the team and can be a part of the team and also a bridge to incorporate it. And when she values the same as all positions, such as one who picks up the balls and the dog who runs around, she says what we want is to struggle. In Defensa Zapatista, there is not a new world, but there might be something more terrible and wonderful. It's possibility. And when she speaks in colors, she might be testing new forms of communication for this new world that we can't even imagine, but that she assumes that will happen, not without the necessary and urgent struggle to bring it wherever it is to this reality that we suffer. I can't imagine something more Zapatista than what is synthesized in the efforts of this girl. This is what Subgaliano was saying to Elias Contreras, who kept silent. Suddenly, at the door appeared Defensa Zapatista with a ball in one hand and the cat dog in the other, and asked, "Pink, we're going." "Well, we'll see you soon there," said Sub. Defensa Zapatista just said, "Black," and left. Elias Contreras asked Sub, "What'd she say?" "I have no idea," he said. Well, he wondered whether he should put on the Milan jacket, which apparently was purchased by the Chinese, or the Jaguares de Chiapas, who knows where they are. He found one by the of the EZLN, with which in 1999 Zapatista players debuted at a stadium in Mexico City, where they made an only goal, and that the dead Submarco synthesized as, "Well, we didn't lose, we just didn't have enough time to win." So we still have road to go. In actuality, Subgaliano, I would suppose what I want to say, sometimes I apply the scientific method of trial and error. Let's go, Elias. I think we have to go to the stable because we have a team to complete. It might take a while, but what will be more? In the field, there was already the same, the horse, Pedrito arguing something with a girl, the cat dog, which is trying to buy the ball, and two strange people who remained on one side of the supposed soccer field. Nobody noticed, but between broomhead and tortilla hair, there was an exchange of a complicit smile and a slight inclination of the head. Defensa Zapatista was laughing while the cat dog was jumping around her, trying to take the ball away from her. It wasn't as cold anymore, and a certain warmth started to arrive in the evening. And what I narrate now occurred in any calendar with a precise geography, the mountains of the Mexican southeast, the cat dog. Thank you.